Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 419. Doing things slightly different yet again. Working my way through this. Doing it without the background music playing in my head, because doing it via OBS, as we're doing now, my auto-ducking was on, so it went, you know, the background. You heard it. Don't want that. So we'll figure something out. This week, we're there. We're going to look at Galaga for the NES from the archives. We're going to talk about G.I. Joe, a real American hero. We did that last week. We're going to talk about the movie Harvey, when Johnny strikes up the band from Warren Zevon. My goodness, my hair is a disaster today. And all the usual stuff. We're also got a new stream of Return of the Obra Dinn happening tonight. Well, Monday night. You guys will get this later, of course. And we've got some new Final Fantasy Tactics. Indeed we do. So, got anything else for you? No, I don't think so. Just a nice quick little intro today. It is the Great Blizzard of 2024. It may or may not be happening, may be continuing, may be ending. I don't know. The weather's changed so frequently and so dramatically. It was 7 when I was at work the other day. It's going to be single digits for a while, and then in like 3 days it's going to be 40. It's climate change. Yeah, it ain't real. Sure. Take control of a fighter spacecraft and shoot down the invading aliens. Watch out for the swooping motherships, which will try to steal your fighter. Rescue captured fighters to double your firepower. Earn perfect bonuses as you battle your way through wave after wave in different challenging stages. I should probably just put that right there. That would make more sense. This is Galaga. We played the NES version, but this is available on everything, from the Atari 2600 up to the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, mobile, Switch, you know, all that stuff. Good old classic Galaga, developed by Namco, published by Bandai, released in 88. Except we played the NES version because we were doing this for a monthly, and I think the monthly was just arcade games. And I don't remember if everybody picked one or not. I think Scarlet. No, Scarlet picked Tempest. I don't remember who picked this one. Anyway, you know, basically, it's Galaga. It's old school arcade shooter Space Invaders, but a little different kind of thing. What more do you want? MGM, by the way, sent a Galaga machine to Matthew Broderick for him to practice prior to shooting the movie War Games, released in 83. He practiced for 2 months, and the arcade unit made 2 appearances in the film. How about that? Because the NES version was 88. Anyway, pretty standard little thing. Nothing fancy, nothing exciting. You pick it up and play it at your own risk, I guess. Because there's, what are they called? Swooping motherships. They may steal your fight. It is review time. Imagine that. So let's go read some reviews. Oh, there's so few. Why are there so few? This is a good game. Well, there's 6. And there's a full review, which gave it a 4 and a 9. And spoiler alert, everybody else, 8. So we're just going to pick these 3. Seemingly at random. One word answer in 2004 says, they aren't your average Joe. Or, no, there's no comma there. So, they aren't your average Joe. They're not talking to Joe. Talking about Joe. Speaking of Joe, real quick. In Burger King, can you go back to calling your coffee Joe? That was one of my favorite things. And you go and you get the cup, and it was just brown, and it said Joe on it. And I, you know... marketing doesn't really work on me, but I just really enjoyed having a cup of joe, as I'm doing right now. It's a good cup. Good sized cup. Anyway, introduction. Military genre always existed, even for the NES console. My nose is itchy. Therefore, I wasn't surprised when I found out that they had G.I. Joe. This game is successful because you heard of the G.I. Joe action figures before, right? That's the game was successful because a related thing is knowable. Me too. Me, too. This one's great so far. So I picked up this game and decided to play it. And again, it never fails to surprise me that good games can even exist for the NES console, even with the competition of next-generation consoles such as the PS2. You remember how we went from the Nintendo to the PS2? Nothing in between. And what a time. So, are you ready for combat? Read on, then. I don't want to read combat. I don't want to fight my books. Books, oh god. Story. Later. There isn't much story in this game. Basically, when you are ... a gung-ho soldier. This is beautiful. You fight in the jungle and kill people. Oh, that's what you do. Shoot them up. That was a sentence. Sorry to be dangerously succinct, but that is basically the whole gameplay. Nothing revolutionary or anything. It's just good old shooting them up before they can shoot you. One word answer. Okay. Gameplay is the next section. And it's two words here, and I thought it was one word previously, but I was mistaken. In the game, you get to select a bunch of warriors. Some of the warriors in this game don weapons, such as swords, like the character Snake Eye. Just one. While other tot double machine guns, like Tater Tot, such as the other guy, whatever his name is. This reminds me so much of... Okay. So you run around in a straight fashion and shoot all the bad guys in your path. Not a, you know, don't go crooked. Shoot first and ask questions later. You can even switch from bare hand combat to guns. The enemies in this game are fish, strangely enough, and other soldiers equally determined to kill you, just like the fish were. What is cool about I just noticed that putting my arm up like that really messed with the color. I'm sorry. This video thing, I gotta get used to it. What is cool about the game is that you just don't work alone, but when you press the start button, you get to switch character. Not much of a big feature, but it is cool to see your comrade fight. Some of the warriors in the game even wield knives, which is cool because you can see them cut up and slash enemies. Different characters in the game got different attributes, such as stamina and jump height and such, so depending on the level, you best use a character that is approximate for the terrain. Approximate. Sound and music. The sound and music for this game is okay. There you the trance music song that loops over and over in the game, in which sometimes it logs into your subconscious. Then you have the lame noises of exploding enemies and gunshot. Conclusion. This is a above average game because it has some well round solid gameplay while okay graphics and a array of characters that are cool. Kind of like the gung-ho type, but are really warriors, and not just the want-to-be. One word answer gave it an 8. Good job, one word answer. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I listened to a podcast called 372 Pages We'll Never Get Back. They call it a bad book podcast. They call it a podcast about books that they're not expected to like. Right. And, We're reading a book. This is the first book I've read along with the show. Usually I just listen because I don't care that much. But I decided this time I'm going to read the book. And my God, there's some videos of it on my YouTube channel if you want to check them out. It and this have a lot in common. This review we just read. Like rice, beans, comma, I guess the Mexican had taken over. Something like that. 9 hours to eat. No, 90 minutes to eat an omelet. 90 minutes. Anyway, Shadowstorm 666, again in 2004, says, "Amazing how Destro still defeats me." Well, he does destroy things. It's his name, sir. Developed by Taxan, G.I. Joe, Bold is a 2D action game based on the once popular characters of the same name, who used to have comic books, action figures, and animated shows, among others, by the time this game was made. That whole thing was one sentence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 commas. That's a trait our 372 book has too. Just full of commas, and thus a lot happens. So imagine, developed by Taxan, blah 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 blah, among others, by the time this game was made. Thus, in G.I. Joe, the task force, blah blah blah. You know, no thus here though. In G.I. Joe, the task force of the Joes has been able to pinpoint the main base of the Cobra organization and decided to put an end to their criminal acts. Excuse me. No, quote, diplomatic solution, quote, here, colon, The idea is to infiltrate the bases, set some bombs, and explode all the buildings. Not without killing hundreds of Cobra soldiers along the way, parenthesis, apparently, comma, this does not seem to be a problem, parenthesis, period. Well, they're robots. I think that's how that works. What game was it? Contra, the German release of Contra. It was a... everything was replaced with robots because you couldn't shoot people in Germany. The gameplay has a 2D action platform feel and is similar to games like Castlevania or Ninja Gaiden. Each stage of G.I. Joe takes place in a different Cobra base and is divided in three, count them, 1, 2, 3, sublevels. During the first sublevel, your team tries to gain access to the base. In the second, you are inside the building and must place timed explosives in specific key points. And in the third one, be fast and escape before everything comes down. For each mission, parentheses, stage, you select three different Joes for your assault team. You can play as any of these three and can change your character at any time. Good thing, since each Joe may be better under certain circumstances. Also, there is no shortage of bosses in this title. Every 10 minutes or so, you will be fighting one Cobra officer, including Metalhead, Destro, and even the garish Globulus. An interesting feature is that whenever you find a Cobra vehicle abandoned along the way, do not be ashamed. Why would... there's a car broken down on the side of the road. I'm so ashamed. You can get into it and use it to attack your foes. I'm so ashamed. We read a lot of these, right? And sometimes things come up and just catches you by surprise. If you find an abandoned vehicle, don't be ashamed. That's one that I didn't see coming, ever. In terms of graphics, the game is not even close to the best of the system. At least, comma, all the characters are promptly identifiable, be it a vehicle, a Joe, or a Cobra. The backgrounds are clear and colorful, even though they lack complexity and variety, resulting in very similar stages, especially when you are inside the bases. Kind of. The music, on the other hand, is really nice. Some of the themes are great, like those during Destro's base and boss battles, and are among my favorite tunes of the NES. In general, G.I. Joe is very good. I cannot say it is flawless. I cannot say it is revolutionary. It certainly will not change your life. I assure you, however, that it is a solid and well-rounded title which does accomplish its objective, to please G.I. Joe fans. As a matter of fact, the game has turned out to be quite interesting, and even gamers who have never heard of the Joes may enjoy it. Good enough for a title this old. And Shadowstorm gave it a 9. Not an 8, he gave it a 9. Do not be ashamed, Shadowstorm. Finally, Night Warrior, Knight with a K, in 2000, updated in 2002, says, I've run out of stupid things to say. I'll be the judge of that, sir. Gameplay, 8 out of 10. Just your average side-scrolling 2D platformer with power-ups and bosses along the way. What is unique about this game is that you have three men with you instead of one, and the second level of a mission always requires exploration and thinking, unlike most side-scrolling 2D platformers. You have a choice of five men, each with their own strengths and weaknesses, another unique feature in this particular game. You have a variety of different levels to go to, each with their own landscape, location, and obstacle. My god. Nothing repeats itself in this particular game, at least it does not happen in the first and third levels in each mission. Another unique thing is that the second level of each mission requires puzzle solving and exploration instead of straightforward walking. They should remake this game, but Taxan is out of business. Capcom might be able to do this. They made the awful sequel. True story. Once I powered up my three characters' guns full blast, and I didn't die from that point on. Don't be ashamed. Audio 8 out of 10. Each tune is very memorable. Each one is different and suits a level, surroundings, and obstacles very, very, very well. Ooh, three varies. The sound effects, well, there are not many. Remember, audio good, sound effects? ? The boss music for the first stage in every mission is by far my favorite musical tune in the game. All the music in this game is both fast-paced and peaceful at the same time. It also fits the stage well. Imagine that in a side-scrolling 2D platformer made 10 years ago for the NES by Taxan. Imagine what? Punctuation strikes again. I think it was supposed to be. It also fits the stage very well. Imagine that in a side-scrolling 2D, but the way it's written. It's imagine that in a 2D side-scrolling, blah, blah, blah. Graphics, 6 out of 10, just your average side-scrolling 2D platformer graphics. Nothing special, but the variety is great. The level designs are unique, original, and they do not repeat themselves. Each an important quality in this type of game. The characters each look unique, and they do not look the same at all. It's almost like you said the same thing twice. The enemies and bosses look unique, too. They each have their own distinction, which is another fine touch by whoever made this game. I think it was Taxan. It was Kid. Night Warrior. Kid developed, Taxan published. Replay, 8 out of 10. Chances are you will probably want to play this game again. Trust me, you will want to play this game again. Chances are, or trust me. You can beat the game with different characters each time you play and get the urge to want to beat this particular game. Overall, 8 out of 10, not an average. It's very clear on that. This game is kind of good. Good for anyone who enjoys G.I. Joe, side-scrolling 2D platformers, or a good game. If you can find this game used at Hollywood Video, consider making a purchase of this game. It may be just right for you. This particular game has a lot of variety in that it distinguishes, with a Q, this particular game from other side-scrolling 2D platformers. The game costs, like 10 bucks on eBay. Rating 8. That's a good, that second review, probably the best one, Shadowstorm. One word answer was the most fun. Night Warriors was fine. Everybody really, I think, kind of hit it. It's a good game. It's a very solid game. I think it, does everything it needs to do. It's unique in that it's a, it's a 2D side-scrolling platformer with some RPG kind of elements that every stage is different, but it has the same, you have the same kind of get in, set the bomb, get out kind of thing, but each one is really, really different that you have to, so there's, I think, five stages, and then each stage is split up into these three parts, and there's five Joes, and you take one Joe. That's your team leader. You don't get to pick them, but you get to pick the other two. So the next stage, you get a different team leader. You pick other two Joes. So you do have to use, the whole team. You can't just like take one guy and super duper ultra power him up. I mean, you can, but it will work better if you kind of space out your power a bit. Everybody can punch, everybody can throw grenades, everybody has a gun, guns work different. Snake Eyes has a sword, Blizzard has a knife. It's just the same thing as punching, it's just the knife is a little stronger, the sword's a lot stronger. Snake Eyes doesn't use a gun, he has ninja magic, and he throws fireballs. They're very weak, but they don't cost ammo. Everybody else has a gun, takes ammo. The last guy that you take for a team leader's name, Rock and Roll. He jumps very short, his punch is very weak, but he's got the strongest gun in the game. So there's trade-offs. I think they did a really good job balancing the characters in the game. And I think story-wise, 7. Graphics, they're a little better than average. I'd give him an 8. Music, a little better than average. Give it an 8. Gameplay, I think is where this game shines. It's a 9 for me. Solid 8. Solid 8 for G.I. Joe. I just pulled up Kid to see if they made anything else I might know. And they've actually got a website. Let's see if it's still active. Nope. So Kid did Rockin' Ball for the NES. Just going to name some games you may know. Burai Fighter, Low G Man, G.I. Joe, Isolated Warrior, The Fastest Lap, Sumo Fighter, The Trolls in Crazy Land, Dezaemon, Master of Weapon, Mystical Fighter, Banana Prince for the NES, Kickmaster, Battle Grand Prix, G.I. Joe The Atlantis Factor, that's the sequel, Capcom published it, it's not as good as whoever that other person was said, Death Braid for the FM Towns, Double Dragon 2 The Revenge for the Turbo CD, a lot of Japan-only games, in fact, pretty much from 1992 on. We don't get another North American release till Board Game Top Shop, excuse me, for the PlayStation in 98. A couple of Game Boy Color games, Space Marauder and Little Monster, Golf Daisuki, and then Japan. Ever 17 out of Infinity for the PC, Colorful Box for the PC in 2004. And then, yeah, pretty much Japan again. The last game they put out was Red Forest for the PC in 2016. They were going to be working on Shin Tantama for the PlayStation 2. It was canceled. And then there's a game called The Ghost Bed to be announced. Creepy Ghost Bed. Red Forest has no information on game facts. It's an action-adventure survival, though, developed and published by Kid. Who knows? Anyway, G.I. Joe. It's good stuff. Well, I hope you all watched Grave of the Fireflies last week. It's a good movie. I had thought I'd seen it, but I don't think I had, because upon rewatching it, there was a lot of it I didn't remember. Not a bad movie. I don't, you know, feel like a lot of what happened was really kind of the brother's fault, but maybe that's just me. This week, something completely different. We're going to do a little feel good after the feel bad of Grave of Fireflies. We're going to watch Harvey. Harvey is a 1950 film starring James Stewart and Josephine Hull. It's about James Stewart. He plays a character named Elwood P. Dowd. Elwood has an invisible friend who's a 6 foot 3.5 inch tall rabbit named Harvey. And we get into a little mythology here. Harvey is a puka, benign but mischievous creature from Celtic mythology. And, yeah, you know, I think it's a really damn good movie. I think it is. Just about everything in it. It's directed by Henry Koster, based on a play by Mary Chase. The play was 1944. Yeah, go watch Harvey. Come back and we'll briefly talk about it next week. But it's worth it. Promise. I'm not going to give you any movies that are crap. Let's us read some news. My ad block is screwed up because there's a lot of ads on this screen. I have to fix that. Anyway, our opening story, Creme de la Weird. Stick with me here, ladies and gentlemen. In 1899... Wait. This was last week's news. Okay, well, never mind. Never mind. Oh, here we go. There we go. The thing loaded and it pushed the right link up. I found it now, don't worry. Told you these ad things were looking weird. Unconventional weaponry. This is much better. The Laconia, New Hampshire Daily Sun reported on January 5th that police were called to the Market Basket supermarket in Tilton a day before after a fruity fracas broke out in the produce section. Social media posts indicated that a watermelon had been used in an assault, and Sergeant Andrew Salmon of the Tilton Police Department confirmed that his department is investigating. Salmon said one person went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, quote, from being struck by a produce item. A worker who answered the phone at the Market Basket said, "We have been instructed not to say anything." Probably for the best. Story of Awesome, a rescue dog at the Lost Our Home Pet Rescue in Tempe, Arizona, enjoyed a brief reign among his shelter buddies, Fox 10 TV reported on January 11th. Sometime around midnight, King managed to break out of his kennel at the shelter and busted out several other dogs. He also found a stash of food and enjoyed a little feast. In the meantime, alarms were triggered. Jody Polanski, the shelter's founder, looked at video from the scene and saw the mess. The police actually came because he set the alarm off, Polanski said. The unnamed responding officer cleaned up after King's free-for-all and got the dog settled back in bed. I was just like, wow, amazing man that he did that, Polanski said. The rescue's website indicates that King is no longer looking for a home. To an island off the French coast. Rodney Holbrook, a 75-year-old retired postman from Wales, has been noticing for a couple of months that small messes in his shed were being mysteriously tidied overnight, the BBC reported. It was elves. So he set up a camera and caught a little mouse picking up pegs, corks, nuts, bolts, and bird food. Holbrook aptly named the rodent Welsh Tidy Mouse. Rodney's not great with names. 99 times out of 100, the mouse will tidy up throughout the night, Holbrook said. I don't bother to tidy up now. I leave things out of the box and they put it back in its place by morning. I've added different things to the desk to see if they can lift it, he said. Rodney is a bit of a jerk. Mr. Jingles is not having this, sir. So, seeing if they could lift it. It's like a squirrel eating a pita chip. That's a, Joe Pera bit. Go look up Joe Pera. You'll be thankful you did. But yeah, just imagine you give a pita chip to a squirrel and the squirrel holds the pita chip and then eats said pita chip. What is the human equivalent size-wise? You know, it's like a card table. Anyway, here's some goals. Lulu Lotus of Mississauga, Ontario, has entered a Guinness World Record for an impressive, if dubious, skill. She blew a 44.1 decibel whistle through her nose. UPI reported on January 9th that Lotus visited Aeroacoustics Engineering Limited to have her whistle measured in a special room. She said her 5-year-old son has recently discovered that he, too, has the nose whistling ability. Quote, "It would be a dream come true if he beat my record one day," Lotus said. Probably the sign of like a deviated septum or something. I think I'm, after I broke my nose, I think I've got that. Because it's fine on this side for you people watching the video, but this side, there's just a big... High tech, the story about the Alaska Airlines plane that lost a panel or a window while flying at 16,000, or was it a door? I think it was a window. Anyway, all over the news, clearly, because I don't remember what it was. But it's in the little human interest stories that really captures. When the panel flew off and the hole gaped open midair on January 5th, someone's iPhone got sucked out and landed on a roadside in Washington State, Yahoo News reported. Sean Bates, who found the phone, posted a photo on X or Twitter showing the phone's intact screen and a battery life of 44% remaining. Pretty clean, no scratches on it, sitting under a bush, he posted. Jennifer Homendy of the NTSB said all found phones would be returned to their owners. Well, what else are you going to do with it? So his iPhone fell out of a plane and was totally fine, but if I were to knock one off the corner of my desk and it hits the ground, it's 80,000 pieces. You can over-engineer things, guys. Inauspicious award. Kathleen Murray of Sandford, Tasmania credits Bandicoots for helping her win her first ever World's Ugliest Lawn competition, The Guardian reported on January 11th. The marsupials, Murray said, have actually liberated me from ever having to mow it again. I'm all for guilt-free weekends, especially since my ex-husband left with the lawnmower back in 2016. That must have been a good-looking Toro. In parentheses, the contest began as Gotland's, Sweden's, ugliest lawn, which was conceived to encourage water-saving and environmentally friendly gardening in 2022. All of the lawns were hideous and well worthy of winning, but the winning entry was really, really bad, said Gotland's Mimi Gibson. It brings me a lot of joy to see all the little creatures who now feel safe to come out during the day in my yard, Murray said. This was a story about a yard, right? There's no description of the yard. Like, none. It credits the bandicoots for help. Well, what did they do? They have liberated you from having to mow. How? That's a terrible story. What's in a name, ladies and gentlemen? Or a word, I guess. Wayne State University in Michigan, has announced its 15th annual list of 10 long-lost words that should be resurrected. That's a better term. That's a word, re-erected. I made it up right now. UPI reported on January 10th that the Word Warriors program has identified Blatherskite. We were saying Blatherskite 20 years ago. That's how Gizmo Duck gets dressed up. Blather and Blatherskite. Means nonsense. Kerglif, the shock felt upon diving into cold water. Raw Gabbit, a person who speaks confidently but ignorantly. And Pocky, having a cynical sense of humor, among others. Let's get together and twinkle during our caffeclatch. Not on the air, sir. But why, ladies and gentlemen, on January 8th, as an Air Canada flight prepared to leave Toronto for Dubai, a passenger who had just boarded opened a cabin door and stepped out, falling about 20 feet to the ground, CTV News reported. The passenger was injured. But they weren't an iPhone, and emergency services were called, the airline said. The flight was delayed, but eventually took off, and there was no explanation for why the person jumped out. If only we could have asked somebody who would have known. Here's a crime report. A 32-year-old woman who had been arrested for assault in Boone, North Carolina, took her aggression out on a police car's back seat on January 2nd, the Charlotte Observer reported. Boone Police Sergeant Dennis O'Neill said a, quote, substantial amount of padding had been chewed away, adding up to $650 in damages. The department's Facebook post suggested they, quote, may need to invest in Kevlar seats. Authorities were still deciding whether to charge her in connection with the car's damage. In connection with? She did it. Of course she's connected to it. She's the only connection. On the flowchart, it goes, lady chewed up seat, one line. My God. That's one way to do it, ladies and gentlemen. The Beanmonger, a coffee shop in Indianapolis, Indiana, next to a wedding venue site, was the site of a pop-up marriage on December 31st. With no prior notice that the happy couple and their guests were planning to converge, the New York Post reported, 20 to 30 people, including an efficient photographer and guests, crowded into the small store where they treated the unsuspecting workers as if they were hired staff. They were asking us to take coats, purses, and watch personal items as if they had rented us out, one person said. The wedding party blocked the entrance to other patrons, and when the barista asked them to move, the photographer replied, no, wait at least 5 minutes. The store typically charges $500 for private events, which they have requested from the bride, but she deemed the amount unreasonable. It's too damn bad. That's what I'd say. Too damn bad. Not likely, our final two stories. Roderick Jackson of Wascom, Texas is suing Walmart for $100 million or unlimited free lifetime shopping at any location in relation to a vague incident from an Omaha Walmart in March 2021. It's the word Walmart. NBC News reported that Jackson alleges there was a false pretense of shoplifting that was a violation of his civil rights based on race and color. Walmart responded that the suit is almost identical to a lawsuit he filed against our company in 2021 that was dismissed. The earlier suit said he had suffered emotional stress and pain from the handcuffs. So, what happened? Like, hey guys, this really weird thing happened, and this is what happened after the weird thing. I'm not gonna, don't worry, we won't talk about the weird thing. Jesus Christ. Joao Pimenta da Silva, 71, of Minas Gerais, Brazil. That's probably horrible. Repeatedly dreamed that gold lay deep under his home, the New York Post reported. To that end, over a year ago, he began digging a hole in his kitchen floor that ended up being 130 feet deep and about 35 inches in diameter. That's Minecraft right there. But on January 4th, his dreams died when he lost his balance and plunged to his death at the bottom of the cavity. His neighbor, Arnaldo da Silva, tried to discourage the project, but Pimenta was convinced his dream would come true. In the fall, he suffered head injuries and broken bones. I don't believe he suffered those during the fall. I think it was the sudden stop that probably was the cause of the injuries, but... what do I know? I mean, he could have tumbled. But it's 35 feet. If he's, you know, I don't know how tall the dude is. He could have been wedged. As I make hand gestures for all the audio listeners. He could have been wedged. A good wedge. You can get a lot done with a good wedge. Ashamed if your wedge isn't good enough, everybody. Let's listen to some Excitable Boy. Our song for Weekly Warren, is Johnny Strikes Up the Band, the opening track from Warren Zevon's third studio album called Excitable Boy. This is the big one, released in 1978, includes Werewolves of London, which was a joke song. Excitable Boy is a track on the album. It's macabrely humorous by some critics. It's got a pretty wide range of tunes. And one thing I didn't get to talk about much last week was all the people who work with him on these albums. Jackson Brown is here. John McVie from Fleetwood Mac. Mick Fleetwood is here playing drums on Werewolves of London. Linda Ronstadt is singing backup. Lee Sklar is playing bass. J.D. Souther is playing, doing background harmonies. Waddy Watchell doing some guitar and synth work and backup vocals. Not quite the list that the previous song had, which included like every member of the Eagles, pretty much. But you got, two-fifths of Fleetwood Mac on this album. Jackson Brown. It's a lot of good people. Anyway, Johnny Strikes Up the Band. Give it a listen. That is it for this week's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. Hope you enjoyed watching it, if that's indeed what you did. What do I got for you? Well, we're just going to keep on keeping on. Make sure you watch Harvey. Make sure you listen to Johnny Strikes Up the Band. Check out G.I. Joe. Check out Galaga. Check out any of the other games we talked about. You can find links to all that stuff over at jasonsgroovemachine.com. Man, my nose is so itchy today. I've been sick for like 5 days, and I think it's just, you know what I mean? What else do I gotta tell you? If you like the show, please consider giving us a rate and review and blah, 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 all that normal stuff. If you like to financially support the show, help us get this situation cleaned up a little more so we can do the show proper. You can do that by visiting buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. That will let you get the video episodes of the show, should you be interested in that sort of thing. Do I got anything else for you? No, I don't think so. Thinking about it. No. Hopefully, this version of the show, the one that you're watching now, is a little cleaner than last week's. I'm going to have to do some adjusting and, you know, build some stuff. Yeah, not super excited about it, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm trying to make it good, but not like a huge time sink. One or the other is not going to happen. Take care.